Hi, I'm the Strategist Cowboy. Today I am reviewing two different American beers, a lager and an ale. Our first contestant this week is an American lager called Pabst Blue Ribbon Beer. A Pabst Blue Ribbon lager costs nearly 15 Swedish kronas, or about $1.80. It is not expensive for a lager that's been hauled all the way from Milwaukee, Wisconsin, just north of Chicago, located at Lake Michigan, a part of the Great Lakes, to Europe by ship. This might be the last and only chance for me to try this beer out, since the brewery is about to move to San Antonio, Texas, where it also has its headquarters, due to COVID-19 related troubles. I doubt that the brewery is ready to haul their beers 200 miles to Houston, Texas, at the Gulf of Mexico, for shipping to Europe. They could, but it would have to be done by first trucks and then by ship. That load, travel by road and reload on ship and load again and travel and reload again kind of thing, costs money. The beer has got a 4.5% ABV. I noticed that the canister variant in America has got a little bit stronger ABV. It contains water, barley malt, and hops, but that doesn't make it a Reinheitsgebot beer, or does it? The beer is bottled in a long-necked glass bottle. The bottle is sized 35.5 centiliters, i.e. about 12 liquid ounces bottle, or exactly 12 liquid ounces bottle, which is the standard size container for American beers. The Blue Ribbon is said by Systembolaget to best be served at 6 to 8 degrees Celsius, i.e. about 43 to 46 degrees Fahrenheit. The brewery says nothing about preferred serving temperature. How about the experience then? I poured up the whole beer. It's got about barely a one finger tall head. But it's clear, it's very clear. And it's yellowish in color, I think. Let me adjust my lamps. Yes, it is. It's clear, like water almost, but it's yellowish. Fade in color. It's not got not it. It hasn't got much of an aroma. And the foam is the head is already gone. I've barely poured it up. it's got a Pilsner flavor, and it is 4.5% ABV, so it's not very odd. The American sized the American beer, Pabst Blue Ribbon, has got about 0.2 or 0.3% more ABV. It's not much. It's still under 5%. Okay. What about the taste? Doesn't taste very much. It's not rich. It's I wouldn't say that it's bread like, and it's not yeasty. It's not top fermented, you know. So it's not very strange that either. Taste on my palate, let's see. Not much. It's a little bit no, I wouldn't say that it's sweet. It's not very bitter either. And it certainly isn't candy-like. There's no fruitiness in it, no spices. Not much of an undertone of anything. It's thin actually. And the carbonation level, oh well. Not very high. It's not creamy, but it's not acidic, and I don't think there are any aberrations either. This beer is blended. It's not very tasty. It's below average, at least. The aftertaste is there's very little of aftertaste in it, all in all. What about grading then? What can I grade this beer? Three devils out of ten possible devils. Or two even. But it's not bad tasting. It's just that it's very fad. It's not much of a taste of anything. I can sense it's a beer. But that's it. It's not very good. No. I give it 2 or 3 devils. I can't decide which one I will give it. But it's either 2 or 3. Okay. Our next contestant is an ale called Dale's Pale Ale from Oscar Blues Brewery. It costs just under 26 Swedish kronas, or just over $3. The beer sort has got a 6.5% ABV. It is a top fermented ale with a considerable stronger ABV when compared with the former Pabst Lager beer with a 4.5% ABV. That is almost one third as strong as the Blue Ribbon. One has to have these two factors in mind to be fair. But also remember that Dale's Pale Ale costs more than one third as much as a Pabst Blue Ribbon. You could almost buy a 50 centiliter strong beer for that sum. This beer is tapped in Austin, Texas, barely a shorter distance as is the mentioned San Antonio from the mentioned Houston at the Gulf of Mexico. Dale's Pale Ale contains water, malted barley, and hops. But that load, travel by road and reload on ship, and load again and travel and reload, seems less costly than I first thought. When hauling an ale, it can be done, though the cost of brewing is overshadowed by the cost of transport. But if you try to do the same thing with an everyday lager, it won't become compatible with more local brewers' beer sorts. It is not possible for them to use the same trailer all the way to Europe. I have never seen an American trailer in Sweden. The beer is bottled in a 35.5 centiliter, i.e. 12 liquid ounces bottle that is recyclable in Sweden. Dale's Pale Ale is said by Systembolaget to best be served at 10 to 12 degrees Celsius, i.e. about 50 to 54 degrees Fahrenheit. The brewery says nothing about preferred serving temperature. How about the experience then? I just opened it, forgot to turn on the microphone. It's got a large head, 3 fingers tall at least. And it's not even poured the whole beer, just half of it. It's got a lemon aroma. At least the foam has. And it's... It's a little bit feculent, orange in color, yellow orange, and it's This is a good beer. Pour up the rest of the beer now. It's possible now. Still 2 fingers tall of a head. Or beard, as they say in Great Britain or England. But I think it's called head in America. I don't care what they call it. We call it the... What do we call it? I don't know. Foam? It's... Orange, brownish, now it's orangey it is. It's got some orange peel taste. It's pretty rich. A little bit bread-like. Perhaps. I think so. It's not yeasty. Maybe just a little bit, perhaps. Taste on my palate, let's see. Orange peels. Is it sweet? It's more bitter than sweet. But I think it's a little bit honey-like. And honey is sweet. It's not candy-like. And the orange peels is very clear. It really tastes orange. And it's very bitter. Spices, let's see. I wouldn't say, oh, yeah, maybe. Some pepper spices. Yeah, maybe. Because the undertone is orange peels and spices. And the carbonation level is let's see in a minute. I had this beer in warm water for a while. Because I hadn't had time to take it out from the cooler. And I often, very often, forget to take out the beers that need to be about 12 to 14, 10 to 12 degrees Celsius, or 50 to 10 to 12 degrees Celsius, or 50 to 54 degrees Fahrenheit. Sorry, excuse me. I have to burp. I didn't take it out in time. So I have put it in water before I opened it, of course. It's got some peppery tone, yeah. The carbonation level was it? Oh. I haven't burped very much yet. It's not creamy. It's not acidic. And there are no aberrations. This is a good beer. What about the aftertaste? Let's see. Well, it's a pleasant aftertaste, let's say that. Okay. What about grading then? Have to grade this. Surprise, surprise, eight devils Out of 10 possible. That's the usual rating from me. You know that. You who listen to me. It's worth 8 devils out of 10 possible, for sure. Okay. Absolutely don't drink and operate heavy machines, military or civilian. Drink responsibly or not at all. Don't drink at all if you're underage or pregnant. Thank you. This week's lesson. T3 and SDB2. Triple Target Terminator, T3. DARPA's T3 program is aiming to develop a long-range supersonic missile for fighter/attack aircraft, bombers, and UAVs. It will be a missile that will be able to deal with enemy aircraft, cruise missiles, and surface-to-air missiles. The speed, maneuverability, and network-centric capabilities of the T3 will increase the chance of survival and increase the number and type of targets that can be destroyed in each mission. The T3 missile must be capable of enabling a fighter/attack aircraft, bomber, or an UAS to quickly switch between air-to-air and air-to-surface mode. The T3 is designed to be carried internally by 5th-generation fighter/attack aircraft, F-22 and F-35, as well as externally by 4th-generation aircraft, F-15, F-16 and F-18. The technology that makes it possible is said to be, quote, air-breathing propulsion, advanced data networking, multi-role guidance and control, advanced warheads, and advanced thermal and power management, end quote. The ideal solution would be a missile that can use different guidance modes, such as INS, GPS, radar, imaging infrared/multispectral, and/or laser guidance, while the missile's control computer has sufficient computing power and hardware to interpret highly differentiated sensor results so that it can adjust course to maneuvering towards supersonic fighter jets, stealthy cruise missiles, and ground-based vehicles. But these are very different problem sets. If you succeed in constructing the ideal missile, you will refine air warfare. Quality will be quantity without sacrificing quality. SDB2, Small Diameter Bomb 2, or GBU-53/B. Here follows a long quotation. Poor weather and battlefield obscurance continue to endanger warfighters as adversaries exploit these conditions to move, safe from coalition air power. This has established the need for an all-weather solution that enhances warfighters' capabilities when visibility is limited. Small Diameter Bomb 2, SDB2, a Raytheon company program for the US Air Force, will provide this capability to the warfighter. The company's Tri-Mode Seeker fuses millimeter wave radar, uncooled IIR, and digital semi-active laser sensors on a single gimbal. The result is a powerful integrated seeker that seamlessly shares targeting information between all three modes, enabling weapons to engage fixed, relocatable, or moving targets at any time of day and in adverse weather conditions. SDB2 Tri-Mode Seeker can peer through storm clouds or battlefield dust and debris to engage fixed or moving targets, giving the warfighter a capability that's unaffected by conditions on the ground or in the air. The warfighter also gains enhanced security with SDB2, as it can fly more than 45 miles to strike a mobile target. And because of SDB2's small size, fewer aircraft can take out the same number of targets that used to require many jets, each carrying a handful of large weapons. SDB2's size has broader implications for both the warfighter and taxpayers, as it means fewer sorties and less time spent flying in dangerous missions. Key attributes: keeps aviators away from many surface-to-air missiles by flying 45 miles to its target. Aircrews spend less time in harm's way because fewer aircraft are required to take out large number of targets. End quotation. And the source for this is Raytheon. SDB2, thus, has a range of 72 kilometers, 45 miles, when felling from an attack aircraft. It is far beyond the reach of at least the IRIS-T SL systems if we are to strike at the weapons-carrying aircraft. The enemy aircraft gets time to turn away and fly back to safety after dropping the bombs if we are stupid enough to wait for the Americans directly near the coast and in the open with an IRIS-T SL, data link, and mobile universal radar systems. IRIS-T SL then becomes extremely uneconomical for the purpose of shooting down the aircraft, as it cannot strike the enemy aircraft, which does not have to penetrate our anti-aircraft shield, but we are forced to strike at the individual gliding bombs if possible. A deep defense on land, at least if we lack access to long-range air defense systems, may therefore be optimal for us on the West Coast to avoid encountering enemy attack aircraft with SDB2, JSAW, and HARM. A mobile IRIS-T SL, combined with a universal radar system, should not be placed directly on the coast to protect targets further inland, or as meaningless self-protection in this case. Inland, it becomes easier to camouflage and hide a radar system, which should transport itself to one of its preferred initial locations in the evening and at night. Inland, it also becomes more difficult for US Special Forces on the ground, or UAVs, to reach and find the targets. It is better to use the long-range Aster 30 than to use IRIS-T SL, because you want to take out the weapon carriers and not the weapon parts. Preferred locations for the Aster 30 must be in connection with Swedish combat aircrafts and road air bases, important infrastructure segments, and other well-defined and high-prioritized targets to the opposite side. At the moment, the only thing we can do with our Air Force is to engage the attack aircrafts or the fighter-escorted bombers out at sea before they have had time to fill their bomb loads. I advocate a solution with underground fixed firing tubes for IRIS-T SL in the port of Gothenburg and up along the coast of at Skärhamn, Lysekil, Fjällbacka, and Överby, which must have signal contact with our fixed AESA 3D radar systems, we should have located in a pattern. Given the multifaceted nature of American means, it is important that our radar antennas are retractable into the ground. We could use more small, cheap air defense missiles with extremely short range, and by so doing, invest in self-protection against the weapon parts. It will be cost optimal, but we will then not get an air defense wall. But if we choose a mobile or underground stationary air defense system with medium range, we will still have to use them against the attacked aircraft's weapon parts. It is not cost optimal. You can therefore alternate MHTK, miniature hit-to-kill interceptors, ALT, IRIS-TSL, with mobile long-range air defense systems at every other of these AESA 3D radar installations. Thank you, and see you later at a wild see you later, alligator, at a wild crocodile. Sorry. Anyway, see you later.
Oh, thank you.